Okay, so the question is, since lay people have sensuous lives, how can they be expected to attain jhanas? Well, I'd answer that when you come on a meditation retreat like this, this is sort of your prime time now for achieving the jhanas. So usually how it tends to work is the first few days of the retreat are not all that favorable for attaining any deep states at all. Not brahmaviharas, not jhanas. A more experienced practitioner, okay, maybe they can get the brahmaviharas even in the first day. That would be, you know, pretty good. Yeah, basically, it takes time to settle into the routine and the practice. And usually the mind is quite unsettled at first. And then once that settles down, then one can get into these deeper states. And also we are very careful with our behavior and our morality. And that helps as well to attain these states. Like, the thing is, if we have been somehow immoral, that will, you might say, hold us back from deeper states, because we can feel regret over that, or like shame over that, or just sort of embarrassment over that, doubt over that. You know what I mean? The thing about immoral behavior is, even if we don't feel all that sorry about what we did, we should, but, you know, some people just aren't very sorry about what they did. And then, but the thing is, the heart does know. Maybe the brain, maybe the conscious thinking isn't willing to admit to the bad behavior, but the heart does know about that immorality. And these doubts or whatever can linger in the heart. So when we come to meditate, there can be kind of like this residue from the bad behavior in the heart, this emotional residue, like of doubt, embarrassment, shame, whatever it is. So that's why sila is important, to be free from doubt or embarrassment, shame, whatever. So when you come here and you take the eight precepts and you begin to really watch behavior carefully, you know, after a few days of that, then you kind of feel good. Like, okay, yeah, I am doing a good job of this. I am being careful. I am keeping my act together. And, you know, and then that can kind of lift one's confidence. And then now sila isn't really holding you back, you know, like these residues have subsided somewhat. But yeah, you're absolutely right here that like once you go back to your lay life and the retreat's over, you might just find it is pretty hard to get into jhanas. If you manage to do it here, whoever manages to do this here, just wait till you go back home. You'll see how easy it is there. You're going to find it is going to be harder. There's more responsibilities. There's more just like random surprises, random people, random problems, you know, random distractions. And that can unsettle the mind. And it's really, you know, it becomes a lot harder to achieve the jhanas. Now, you might still get the brahmaviharas without all that much work. You know, brahmaviharas are still fairly realistic, just as a lay person in your lay life. You know, once you've been on a few of these retreats, 3, 4, 5 retreats, something like that. I don't know how many it might take you. But after a fairly small number of these retreats, you might even find you can do the brahmaviharas even at home sometimes. That would be good. That goes a long way. You know, the jhanas are very praiseworthy and very sort of exalted, and, you know, it's kind of like a superhuman attainment, you know what I mean? It's like, this is the stuff of superheroes if you can do this. But the brahmaviharas don't look down your nose on those. Those two are very praiseworthy. Language is used like one is above the world. Above the world, if one can attain a Brahmavihara. It's something that is very rare that anybody can do it at all, even a Brahmavihara. So, to even do that much as a layperson between retreats is doing well. How it often works is, like people like yourselves, lay people, they maybe do one of these retreats a year, something like that. You know, once you've been on several retreats, maybe on the retreats, maybe you can get into a jhana, you know, a few times, let's say, towards the end. And that gives you this tremendous boost of, you know, faith and confidence and, you know, kind of like, I don't know what, it kind of sets you straight in your spiritual life. And then during the year, whatever, when you go back to your lay life, then if you can get the Brahmaviharas here and there, it kind of just maintains you, keeps you kind of you know, that's the maintenance to tide you over till the next time you can come on a retreat. It is hard, you know, it is hard. And I would say, like, oh, seclude yourself from your smartphone, oh my goodness. Please, I beg you. Every little bit counts. Every little trick. Every little thing. There's a few little tricks I do that I'll mention real fast as a monk. I always put my phones into airplane mode at night or power them down entirely. And if there is another room to store the phone in, I always try to put it in the other room, not the bedroom where I am. Like, don't just have it in your room and then you're tempted. It's just sitting there, you know. Don't just have it by your bed and now you're just tempted to reach over and grab it. Like, try to put the temptation away from yourself. And, you know, even to put it in airplane mode, it's just a little bit of a hassle to bring it back out of airplane mode. It's like a little speed bump to slow yourself down, you know, so you don't just go online with every little thought you have. All these little speed bumps matter to seclude yourself. Okay.